this week, we're talking about kids that carry broadsheets.
How long have you been working on that one?
Welcome back to Box Office Bylines, a podcast about movies, about journalism, The Citizen's Kane, The Girls' Friday, The Bride's Runaway. In Yellowknife, Northwest Territories, I am Jacob Boone, somewhat of a journalist.
And in Halifax, Nova Scotia, I am Tara Thorne, barely a journalist.
Tara, how's it going this week?
It's going all right. How are you?
It's going all right. I got a lot of papes to sell.
You know what, though? Papes, headlines don't sell papes. Newsies sell papes.
I think, don't they say heads don't sell papes?
It's a lot of jargon that I don't think was real.
Boy, if you want to hear the word papes
a lot,
dozens of times, you should check out 1992's Newsies, which we watched this week, a musical based on the New York City newsboy strike of 1899, when young newspaper sellers were exploited beyond reason by their bosses and set out to enact change. Directed by Kenny Ortega, written by Bub Zoetiker and None White. Starring in the role that landed him Batman.
Many years down the road.
Christian Bale.
Yeah.
Also, Bill Pullman, fixture of 90s films.
Definitely. Robert
and
Duvall.
Margaret. Yeah. As just sort of like a showgirl.
Just singing her heart out.
Yeah. David Moscow, Robert Duvall as Joseph Pulitzer, and several dozen young actors doing sort of like a prepubescent Mo Sizlak impression.
Truly. I was just, actually, when you said, I was going to say Disney orphans, just like orphans owned by the studio. Just these boys.
A lot of, for a cast of young actors in the early 90s, an impressive amount of people I've never heard of that I don't think went
before
on
or since.
To, a lot of other great success. And no, I don't mean that critically of them. It's just usually in these sort of films, you have a big cast and there's like someone hidden, like Matt Damon somewhere in the background as
Or it's like
Apple
Daisy
Seller.
Confused. It's like Renee Zellweger was an extra.
Yeah. Not so much.
No, it's true.
Had you seen this movie before?
I somehow had not, which is amazing because I was in the early 90s, I was like 11, 12.
Sure.
So, you know, renting the VHSs was a big thing in my house. Mm-hmm. And I would have been the perfect age for this, but I feel like no one in my house would have liked it. So, but it's weird that I've never caught up with it.
No one in the world really liked it.
Yeah, I know. It's weird I've never caught up with it because I do love a musical. I do. Mm-hmm. Like, but then, do I love a musical about the unionization of children? Maybe not as much as I thought I would. But no, I'd never seen it. Had you?
No. You know, it's interesting. There's a lot of grand journalism stories about newsrooms unionizing and the history of labor and newspapers. And there's only two movies, I think, about any of that. This and Don't Rock the Boat, that Canadian horny sex comedy from the 70s.
Don't Rock the Boat.
I hadn't seen this before. I, at times, was a little bored. I think it's a bit of a mess in a lot of parts. But actually, the songs I enjoyed, and I wish there were more of them. It kind of seems to forget it's a musical halfway through, and suddenly it's just a movie for a long time, and then they bring a couple of the other songs back from the first act.
The reprise. Yeah, and it's like, it's a really fake, like, old-timey shot on a soundstage movie.
Oh,
like,
it looks
like West Side Story or something.
Yeah. But it's not.
It's not. So it's sort of like, it became a very successful Broadway play recently, which makes sense to me, because that's how it really plays.
What's interesting, it wasn't pitched as a musical.
Mm-hmm.
It was just supposed to be a straight movie for Disney. Yeah.
As I learned by accident when I was just trying to figure out who David Moscow was, who he was in Zoe Duncan, Jack and Jane.
With Selma Blair.
Oh, yes, yes. So I happened upon a fact, which is that...
And Thomas Hayden Church, I want to say.
Yeah, and who was the other woman? Zoe Deschanel?
I think it was Azura Sky.
Azura Sky?
No. Anyway, it's fine.
That'll be our next podcast.
Boy, that is a sitcom pull. That was like 8 episodes. How did we both know so much about that one?
It's because the name was like, oh yeah. It was not originally a musical, and then Jeffrey Katzenberg, who was running Disney at the time, they had just had a giant hit in The Little Mermaid, which has tons of songs, amazing songs. Now, it's also animated, and Newsies was never going to be animated, but he's like, let's make everything a musical. And it tanked.
The songs are catchy, but they're also not, I mean, I've been humming them, but I wouldn't say they're like stellar. It's not Les Mis.
It's not, but he did bring in Alan Menken, who is the Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast guy. So, like, that's a baller songwriter, but maybe he didn't have a lot of time.
I believe, let me just run down to my trivia real, real fast. Howard Ashman was also originally going to write the song lyrics, but had to bow out due to AIDS-related complications.
Wow.
There is a lot of, like, 90s style, I would say, breakdance numbers.
Christian Bale has quite a beautiful dance section.
Do you think so?
I thought it was great. And I hate
that
guy.
I did not find him fluid as a dancer. But a lot of the dancing is very, like, masculine, elbows jerking around. We're young boys who are going to take the world on type dancing, which
they're all orphan boys in their defense. Mm-hmm. Like the, it's
well,
weird
no,
to me
some
that...
of them aren't. That one kid had a loving family at home.
Yeah.
But he had to go sell papes because his dad got injured at the factory and got laid off.
It was the style of the time. It's weird that there's like a newsboys
lodging house,
rooming house. Yeah.
Yeah, they're indentured servants basically.
Yeah. By the way, this is probably in your trivia, but Kenny Ortega, a famous choreographer, choreographed Dirty Dancing and did all the High School Musicals and a bunch of Gilmore Girls. He directed a bunch of Gilmore Girls.
He also directed Hocus Pocus.
Interesting. I don't know that his directing is necessarily his strength. Obviously, directing dance sequences is a
That's
good strength of
what
his.
What he's into.
Yeah. It's sort
he
of
choreographed
like,
St. Elmo's Fire, Pretty in Pink, and Ferris Bueller's Day Off as well.
Now, Ferris Bueller's Day Off has a full-on dance number in the middle of a parade. I cannot think of what Pretty in Pink had. Or St. Elmo's Fire. The saxophone?
There's a dance in Pretty in Pink. They go to a dance.
They go to a dance. Yeah.
Sure. You got to choreograph those kids. One thing I did enjoy about this, because it is a Disney movie from the early 90s, it did make me feel very nostalgic for the magical or wonderful world of Disney.
Like the Journey of Natty Gann.
Sunday night
kind of
slot.
Yeah,
like on CBC or ABC or whatever, depending on where you are. But like when, there would just be like Money Pit or Hook or Mrs. Doubtfire. Or like a random Ernest movie.
Yeah.
Ernest. On in those like summer slots. I enjoy, and this even feels like there's straight up commercial breaks in this movie. Like it feels like it was made for TV, pitched as a real movie, turned into a musical that was effectively made for a television release.
Yeah.
And that maybe goes to why it isn't as delightful as it can be, because it's sort of falling apart in places. It's as ratty and ragtorn as the outfits of these
and of course the big conflict comes from him crossing the line. Basically, they go, the newsboys go on strike.
Yes, they go on strike, and Cowboy
Bale. Yeah,
he's got like three names. He's got his fake real name and his real name. And but they all call him Cowboy because he wants to go to Santa Fe, which is his big.
Why? This is the part. So Santa Fe is the big banger number from this musical that everyone knows. I do not
understand
why he's obsessed with that particular.
Well, it's just
city.
Like because he's from New York, and so it's like and he was an orphan, so Santa Fe is like the great, what, the Wild West, where he can do anything, be anyone, he can be free, because he was also in like child prison. and he escaped.
It just wouldn't be California, like Santa Cruz.
I don't know. Santa Fe is easier to rhyme.
Definitely.
So, yeah.
Santa Clarita. That's where he wants to go.
As you said, he because he has no family and he just wants to go there, he ends up going against crossing the picket line, gets convinced by Joseph Pulitzer, played by Robert Duvall, who's straight up out of his mind. Pulitzer was Hungarian-American, and Duvall doesn't seem to know if he's doing an accent or not.
Just sitting in a chair yelling.
And there's one scene where, they open the windows so he can hear the newsboys chanting, and he plays it like... he plays it like somehow, like, labor chants are, going to blow his brain up.
Yeah, he runs out and screams at them to stop.
He's terrified of noise in a very peculiar way as a choice for an actor.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, yeah, Bale crosses the picket line, but he learns eventually when some thugs threaten to rape his friend's
Like, that
friend's
was a
sister.
Real rape threat, and they were just, trying to pretend it wasn't? Because
that was
this
out of
is
place.
Like a G yeah. movie? It's like, just have him menace the child.
Yeah, just have him menace the child would have
Not
been
Not this
fine.
Woman that they're, pulling. Two guys are pulling into an alley.
Okay, so here's something I thought. The other character, Moscow's character, mm-hmm. Jack? Is that
David.
His name? David? This was really about him and David and Cowboy being in love. I'm going to look the name up so I can find it. So, but, the sister was just there so it wouldn't be gay, right? It was that's the closest Christian Bale can get to kissing David. The character, his character, is clearly actually infatuated with.
Well, and as was the style of the time and this time,
David, yes.
The women are not well written. The two women
no.
are not
Three.
Given much
there's
to
the
do.
Mother, played by
oh,
Hugh
right.
Jackman's wife.
And there's Anne Margaret.
Anne
who's
Margaret
just a blousy
yeah.
idiot.
I mean, great. I think she's fantastic in mm-hmm. it, in her tiny role, but yeah.
But she talks like Marilyn Monroe or something. It's just like one of those
she's
things.
She's a little flirty with these young
yeah.
kids.
Yeah, a little bit.
Whatever.
A little bit. And then, yeah, Sarah or whatever.
There's also in the opening musical number, just a random mom comes by singing about how she lost her child to the orphanage and she hopes to be reunited. And I really thought that was going to come back around.
Right.
As something, but never does.
Was that just a nod to if the dad died, do they just take the kid from the mother and why?
I think it was supposed to be oh yeah, look at the hardship of this world. But considering Cowboy keeps talking about how he didn't know his parents,
mm-hmm.
I really thought we were going to find out they were rich in that.
That opening scene is
trope.
Quite homoerotic too, with all the boys laying on top of each other across mm-hmm. all the beds.
Yep, their feet in each other's faces.
Gross.
And then. Going, getting cleaned up in the morning, shaving dancing, their faces, but without
together.
Razors. Yeah, it has a very Lost Boys sort of
mm-hmm.
Peter Pan quality to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I felt like David and Cowboy were the ones who were in love.
Hmm.
And there was Brokeback
Newsies.
they had a lady to go between them so that the censors of the time wouldn't get
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
too freaked out. That's my queer reading of Newsies.
Love it. Let's do it.
What else was good that you enjoyed about this? Crutchy. There's a kid with a crutch whose name
there's
is Crutchy.
A kid with a crutch. I feel like that was a screenplay holding name that just stayed.
We'll think of something better.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's 100% that kind of movie where, mm-hmm. there's a kid with an eye patch. That's Patchy.
How does one keep all their boy orphans separate? You have to just name them by what
you
they
just
look
come
like.
Up with it's very Disney Seven Dwarf style naming conventions.
I don't know. Again, I love dance numbers. I love singing. I liked all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard for me to watch a movie all about men. I even if it's boys It's just like, I just it's so hard for me to give a shit.
You love Boyhood.
I did love Boyhood. That's different. That's Linklater.
They're basically the same film.
Totally. Just need, if Boyhood had some singing. Yeah, so it's just sort of hard for me to invest. But I was like, it's very well cast. Lots of good stars of the time. Crutchy,
I think it's
very
fair
good
to say this is not a good film, too, though. Like, yeah. There are parts that are enjoyable. You can kind of, as a Friday afternoon film that I watched it, like, yeah, I still was zoning out for long stretches, but yeah, it's not, if I paid to see this in the theater, I'd be a little annoyed.
I mean, in the theater, you might like it more. Maybe. It might envelop you more. On my computer screen, less good. Originally known as The Newsboys. Sorry, I just want to see what like Roger Ebert thinks about this.
I did really like that whenever the cops showed up, they said, "Cheese it." Which is only a phrase I'd ever heard of Mo Sizlak use on The Simpsons. So that was great. We can talk about, if you'd like, how this is based on a real story. The real strike of the Newsies from 1899.
But just one second. Roger Ebert gave it 1.5 stars. Newsies, we are informed, as the movie opens, is based on actual events. I do not doubt this. So please tell me about the real-life story this is based on.
So, not only just the story, but most of the Newsies themselves depicted in the film are based on real people, such as Spot Conlon, the tough-as-nails Brooklyn Newsie. Racetrack Higgins, who likes selling papes at the races and betting on the ponies. Mm-hmm. Kid Blink, that's the name of the child with the eye patch. And Jack Kelly, cowboy's real name. Jack Kelly is a fabrication, though he may have been based on the real Kid Blink, who was like one of the main organizers and was accused of being bribed by Pulitzer to end the strike. David is probably based on Morris Cohen, the other leader of the strike. So the actual Newsboy strike lasted from July 20th to August 2nd, so a couple weeks, in 1899. The real Kid Blink spoke with a heavy Brooklyn accent that was often phonetically transcribed when he was quoted in the newspapers. It's mean. they demonstrated across New York City for several days, stopping circulation of the two papers. Apparently, Pulitzer's New York World, because of the strike, its circulation decreased from 360,000 papers sold per day to 125,000 papers.
And he does say 70% at one point, so that sounds right. Also, can we talk about the accents? I did forget about that. The accents are ridiculous. They even sing in the New York accent.
They write Bale, in the New York accent. There's a protest sign that said, "We ain't slaves," and ain't is spelled A-Y-N-T.
Like, Christian Bale's British, and he's going whole hog on New York.
Yeah. I wouldn't say he's the most I think he, probably knowing his limit.
No, they all do it.
Some people are going nuts with it.
There was one guy I thought was David Krumholtz. That's why I looked it up.
Yeah.
It wasn't him.
It's like it's like watching the Many Saints of Newark. The Newsboys' methods, although eventually the strike became very popular, there was a lot of public support for it, in the early days was very violent. Any man or boy found to be selling the boycotted newspapers would be mobbed by a group of strikers, beaten, and his papers destroyed. The newspaper owners then paid grown men to sell their papers, offering them police protection, but the strikers often found ways to distract the officers so they could get at the scabs, which is feels like a sort of, who were those, the black and white serials about the orphans?
Little Rascals.
Little Rascals. That feels, like you distract the police officer and then they all swarm the guy and there's a big cloud where like fists and
then he's tied up when the cloud goes away.
Birds.
They kept saying, "I'm going to soak him."
Yes.
That's what they would do.
Soak him. That was the slang.
Like piss on them or throw
No,
water
I think
at
that
them.
Just meant beat up at the time.
Oh, okay.
Because they would also use women and young girls as scabs and they often wouldn't be attacked because, as Kid Blink put it in the papers, a feller can't soak a lady.
Well, good for Kid Blink.
Yeah.
I do wonder how long after this strike it took them to invent the concept of the newsstand.
Yeah. They maybe.
It's like, what if we just built a structure?
So these were only the afternoon editions, too. Most apparently the morning editions would be delivered to subscribers' doors, right. But for the afternoon edition, you'd want to have your audience development team, in this case your newsies, go out and spread some scandalous tweets so everyone goes nuts and clicks on your story or buys your paper, in this case.
I do... The thing about the newsies is that they would all line up. There were way too many of them, even for New York City. Because, like, each borough would have its own supply. Yeah. And then they would just all go to the nearest corner. It's not like they walked 20 blocks.
Well, racetrack would go to the racetrack.
Yeah, I guess. But it's just sort of like, I don't, like, would you have a preferred newsie? Or would you just, like, how would you be the best?
Well, we see Christian Bale, like...
Just doing tricks and shit.
Yeah, he, what would you call it? Sort of
showboating?
He makes the case he's not lying, but like there's a trash fire in New Jersey and so he starts yelling out like Jersey in flames. That sort of stuff. And people buy it. Cuz they buy the papers for 50 cents for 100 papers and then they sell them I think 1 cent each. So they make half a cent on every paper they sell.
Mm-hmm.
So when Pulitzer and Hearst decided to up that to 60 cents, that cut into their profits by a lot, I guess. I didn't do inflation on that. And the strike ended eventually with a compromise. So they kept the 60 cent rate, but they agreed that at the end of the day, whatever papers the newsies hadn't sold, the publisher would buy back at the price, original price. So at least they wouldn't be out that money.
Mm-hmm.
And presumably they could pulp that and then reuse it as newsprint.
Yeah.
I guess it was still early, but I'm sure they could probably do that. I don't know.
I'm sure they were very big into reusing in the 20s or wherever we were.
Newsies. I have a bunch of trivia if we want to take a break and go to that.
Let's do it.
All right, back in a second.
When I dream on my own, I'm alone, but I ain't lonely. For a dreamer, night's the only time of day. When the city's finally sleeping, all my thoughts begin to stray, and I'm on the train that's bound for Santa Fe.
Welcome back to Box Office Bylines, where we're talking about the inexplicably popular 1992 misfire Newsies, starring one of the many Batmans, Batman.
It did become a cult classic.
It is a cult classic. The Broadway show is huge. So I think I would forgive more of this in a Broadway show, which is inherently dorky and bad. And it looks like a Broadway show anyway. That's
knowing that there was a Broadway show, I was surprised to learn that it did not come first. Because it does feel like it's adapted from a play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not always a compliment.
Nope. Not in this case. So did you know, Tara, Christian Bale was supposedly ashamed to tell his friends that the movie was a musical.
I'm not surprised. Actually, knowing what a serious twat he is now, I bet he's super embarrassed to have ever been in Newsies as a teenager.
Do you think he blew up on set like that one time on Terminator?
Calling everyone a cunt.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Most of the cast trained in dance and martial arts for 8 to 10 weeks.
Wow.
Before filming commenced. Martial arts, I don't know.
Martial arts for the elegance.
Okay. They had to do some like flippy stuff.
Yeah.
And they flipped around early New York.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, there's a barrel in the street, so you jump on it and then somersault off.
You like run on it for a second.
Yeah. There's a horse. Yeah. Christian Bale gets to ride a horse.
He does. That's the sequence that he dances and sings in, and then he moves to a horse. It's a lot going on.
At the end of every week, the actors portraying the Newsies took it upon themselves to torment director Kenny Ortega with practical jokes and japes and jabs. One time they tried to upturn a bucket of water on him. When it missed its mark, Christian Bale and David Moscow used what they called water Uzis to soak him instead. In this case, actually soaking him, as we understand the term, not beating him up. At another time, the boys filled his dressing room with newspapers.
These are not great gags.
No, but
they
need children.
Clooney on this set.
They're like, yeah. That's a child's
they're
gag.
They're teen idiots. Yeah.
Like, we'll fill this room with balloons. Won't that be funny? And it's like, it kind of is. And it's like a mild
it's
inconvenience.
More annoying than anything. Yeah.
But it's a fun thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Mila Jovovich auditioned for the role of Sarah Jacobs. The girl.
That would have been, yeah.
While she could sing, her line readings with Bale were deemed to be too abrasive. Love to see that screen test.
Yeah, seriously.
How old was she? When was Dazed and Confused?
She would have been super young. Well, yeah, Dazed and Confused. No, she would have been too old then. She was already married when she was on Dazed and Confused.
But she married, like, grossly young, didn't she?
Probably.
Wasn't she, like, 16 on Dazed and Confused?
I don't think so.
We'll look that up.
I had to shut my internet down, so.
Okay. The movie was, as we mentioned, a critical and commercial flop that eventually garnered a cult following after its home video release, making its budget back on rentals. There you go. And then turning into a stage musical, which premiered in New Jersey in 2011. Music and lyrics by Alex Menken, Jack Feldman, he also did the lyrics. He did the movie's lyrics as well. And a new book by playwright and actor Harvey Fierstein.
That's interesting.
After the real life strike, Kid Blink got a job as a cart driver and later as a saloon keeper. He also may have worked as a right-hand man to New York mobster Chuck Connors.
Oh.
He died.
May have.
He died in July 1913 at the age of 32 from TB.
That's not a mob disease. That's a regular disease.
The mob got it, I'm sure. Although many newspaper moguls of the time hosted Christmas dinners and other holiday events for their newsboys, after the newsboys' strike, Pulitzer went as far as to host weekend events in vaudeville houses, the period equivalent of kids' nights at the movies.
Cute.
Yeah. Also, apparently by 1899, Pulitzer was blind. And ran his newspapers by telegram from a yacht.
Ah,
which is
nice work.
That's a way to do it, yeah.
I didn't mention this in the before part, but I did like when they broke into his press and printed the
scab
paper.
The publishing montage, that was great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very old style.
He's like, who printed this? And then David's like, we only use
the
best.
Sir. Or whatever, yeah. And then he goes, oh, and he like rages. There's something involving his daughter, too.
I don't recall.
And there's like a weird, like the publisher guy who gives him the paper. And there's the whole subplot of like Christian Bale's former prison warden is trying to get him back so because he gets money off these kids, however many years care.
Yeah.
So he's like the real villain.
Need it. Yeah, we didn't need that added layer. There's enough going on.
Though it did have a fun scene where he shows up at the lodging house and Bale is just, he's like looking for Cowboy and Bale just sort of stands behind him and like does that thing where every time he turns, he stays behind him in his back and they're all lying and, you know, those hijinks.
Without that part, it would have been 90 minutes.
It was. Didn't need to be two
it was
hours.
A long 2 hours. A
yeah,
long 2 hours.
It was.
Yeah.
Well, I don't really have anything else to say about this movie. I think we're at half an hour.
We tried. I actually, my expectations were kind of high. I was excited.
I'm glad I watched
it.
And
I was like, yeah. But, meh.
Do heads sell papes, Tara? Or do newsies sell papes?
I mean, heads certainly sell papes on the internet.
But isn't the internet the newsies of the day?
We all learned how to write new styles of heads for the internet.
Okay, but
that's how selling.
We don't need to get actually serious about this, but isn't social media the newsboys of today? Like, you write a story, but you want someone famous to tweet it with a crazy comment so you can go viral.
Sure, but people tweeting aren't making money. Like, they're not buying.
They're getting clout.
Access. Yes, they're getting the very valuable.
The 10 cents of its
clout.
Day.
10th of a cent. Yeah. That's what they get. Yeah. Well, we tried. We tried to go to Santa Fe.
Didn't quite
but
make
it. Was
it
too hot.
But we're still big fans of Christian Bale. Both of us.
No.
We're excited to see what he does next.
Bill Pullman is in my province right now. Making a television show called The Sinner. And everyone says he's very nice.
I wonder if we can get him on this.
Get him on the... Like, right... Yeah, we'll just do the whole episode about Newsies. Then
we can
to
redo
like
this. I bet we don't. I'm sure he would be fine to look back. He is a very thankless sort of guest star role. Where he's
the one that gets them into the press.
Yeah, he's the journalist who believes in what they're doing. And so he gets to do a lot of fun stuff. And... wear nice outfits, and he sings a little bit. He's the King of New York. He gets a little bit in that, just fun. And then,
how did no one sing My Way in this movie?
That's Jersey Boys, isn't it? The sequel,
the unofficial sequel to Newsies, Jersey Boys. Jacob,
Tara.
People can find you at RWJ Boone
on Twitter. Yes. They can find you at ThornyHFX, and they can follow the show at Box Bylines. We'll retweet all your Newsies content, I promise.
Yeah, even if you're mad.
Especially if you're mad. Until next week, everyone, thank you for listening, as always. And good night, Crawler. Good morning, Glory. And good luck.
Bye.